Good afternoon. Welcome to the Order of Time. Today, I would like to talk about bringing democracy. The civilized West is very happy with its system. It's called democracy. It means that everybody may join in governing, going to politics and express his opinion and defend his position. We think it's all very fair and it works fine for us. There's to a certain degree justice. People understand that to have a good economy, one has to supply as much money as one wants to derive from the system. So, you know, money like blood flowing through a body. This is an economic model which is very simple to understand by everybody. And this is how democracy works. Right? You supply money in exchange for adaptation. People have to adapt, to submit to the law. And they are rewarded. People need to be a system. In a system, people need to be rewarded for their basic adaptations. So this works fine for us. And as it goes, we think it's pretty simple. You know? Why doesn't everybody do that in the world? And so we are in trouble because we do not really define the conditions for a democracy. To install a democracy is not just a matter of taking away a dictator. Like in Europe, Hitler was removed from power, driven into his own self-destruction, and thus democracy restored. And from that episode, we have the impression that removing dictators would bring democracy. But unfortunately, this is an ignorant position. Democracy has demands. It demands people to take responsibility for their own position, which is essentially an enlightened vision. People need to emancipate to find that responsibility for themselves. And this emancipation cannot be separated from our educational system, which is simply the institute of emancipation. In education, children learn to be emancipated adults. Takes about 15 to 20 years, but then it must be clear, as we described in our previous talk, that like little children in primary school or kindergarten, first they have to learn to listen to the teacher, and then they learn to sing songs, and next they have to learn to remember things. Words and names and basic matters of general interest in society. How to cross a street and how to address people and how to behave and all these things. These things must be remembered. So there's listening, there's singing, and there is remembering. This is what children learn in kindergarten, first group, second group, you may call it, third group. But then the child has to learn to write. And once it can read and write, it has to learn to study the books. And then we are in primary school. Children learn to read and write and study math and history and all these matters. Geography and language, how everything works. You have to study that in the books, these days also with a computer. So then we have arrived at the fifth group, the fifth degree or the fifth class in a system of nine classes, which is the emancipatory system, the educational system. We are educated into this command of ourselves. So after studying, then what? We have consumed this knowledge. And then there's something more to learn. Children are not done in 5 or 6 years of education. Something more is needed. Once the knowledge is given, how to spell, how to write, how to think about everything, how to do your math, then you have to learn to concentrate. That is group six. You have to focus your mind and develop a taste in life for your own commitment. And that has to be learned. It is a very individual matter how to relate to the big body of knowledge. You may call it God or you may call it knowledge. Whatever, one needs to focus on this. One needs one's focus. This focusing is done with, usually, traditionally, with mantras and prayer. The mind is focused with a certain mantra, like the prayer of the Lord, or Aum, saying Aum, or the Buddhist saying Om Mani Padme Hum. People concentrate their mind that way on a person. So, from studying and reading, matters become personal. We relate to the person, the hero in question of the culture. This is all important in emancipation. One needs an example to follow. And it is difficult. You can also try to focus on a movie star, but that is usually not concentrating the mind. It is an example of conduct to defeat evil or something. Mostly not a very realistic story, and it's usually not containing any sensible mantras or prayers to concentrate your mind on the essence of that hero. So we have these classical schools about it, and that's the old school, and that's usually the religion. And there's also new school. You can meditate on Einstein's EMC square, but that's more advanced if we ever understand it properly. So we have this classical method of concentrating our mind, which is also preparing for a next class, a next group in this process of emancipation. So this is all needed to install democracy. It's not just to become a Christian, it's to become a civilized human being, able to concentrate yourselves. Once you concentrate yourselves, you are not done. Your prayer is not enough. You have to speak up. You have to proclaim your belief. If you believe in goblins or in dolphins, you have to talk about that and defend that. And if you have your turn of addressing the classroom, so you have your time to speak, and you may prepare that, but you have to learn that too, to express your position, your point, your way of relating to the body of knowledge that is the entire culture. So that's proclaiming, and that is group seven. In group seven, we thus learn to speak. This is also essential for democracy, that people feel confident expressing their own individuality. Because you can do your prayers, you can do your reading and studying, but did you really express your individual point, your individual calling, your individual vocation. You feel called for a certain profession halfway your education. So this is a normal thing for human beings. This is all a condition for democracy. We are educated people, therefore we can be democratic, because we have learned to speak up properly, to defend our opinion. We have learned this. So, and now we've just arrived at the seventh grade, the group seven, and this is just primary school. This is very fundamental, and this is what we all should know. We all are educated. At least we have primary school. We are obliged by law, so it should work elsewhere too. But there's more needed. When you speak up, you get a restless mind. You stir things up, speaking about matters. If you say sharks are very important because they do this and that, and they you can be positive about it, you can warn about it, you can have a complete lecture about it, you can see that on television too. So, but you stir things up, you raise questions. So why would that be so, and have you thought about this? And so you raise discussion. But if you give if you proclaim something, you do not always expect a return, an answer in return. So it is one of the reasons why speaking can be difficult, because it stirs the mind, it raises questions. These questions must be foreseen and answered in front, in fact, before you dare to speak up. So this, if you engage in thought, like when you speak, you also have to know how to stop this process of having the mind aroused to a certain subject. So the opposite is just as well needed. Just like in a car, as I told, you have a gas and you have the brakes. So both are needed to control that car. So your life is exactly the same way as a car. Your ego is like a car. You need a grip on the world, which is your physical control, the steering wheel. But you also have a throttle and a brake. Not to speak about gears, that could be automatic, but at least you need to know how to stop if you want to engage. That is a basic matter. So if you proclaim your opinion, your thing, you want to represent in democracy, your position you have to defend, you also have to know how to stop. And this is a difficult point, because to engage is one thing, but to stop is another. So where are the breaks in our mindfulness? How do we stop minding? Well, this is another grade, the eighth grade, where one learns to meditate. In meditation, we identify with the witness, the soul, the self, and we wonder what this mind is all about. I am just witnessing my environment, and what is my mind doing? It is communicating. It is raising questions. It is answering questions. It is imagining what others say and answering to that. And that is what the mind all does. It is it's a big fantasy, in effect. So meditation does exactly the opposite. The meditation says, stop that rumination. The yoga, for instance, the Yoga Sutras, the first thing potentially says in his sutras is, stop that worrying about matters. Why are you concerned? Look around you. What is there? There is just a sky and maybe a house and a room and a chair you sit upon. And so what's the fuss all about? What is there to talk? Is anybody asking questions? What are you speaking about? So you can, of course, answer all these questions, but if you're honest, there must be an end. This talk, what I do now, will end in that meditation. If I engage in talking, I can only engage in it when I know how to stop. So I know my meditation. This is the eighth grade. You learn to stop. And that is not, then you're not done. There's still a ninth grade. And that is the grade of enlightenment. That is the grade of taking responsibility for your own inner process. Because I can proclaim things, I can be silent. I can speak after what I've written or what I've read and be silent. But did I really think about matters? Did I really weigh my thoughts properly? Because at least this must be a purpose. That the purpose of education is that we find this position of self-responsibility, of self-reliance in mindfulness, so that I know what I'm saying, I know what I'm engaging in, and I know what I belong to. And this is essential. This is an essential condition, in fact, for democracy. You have to know what the thought process is all about, what it means to take responsibility for your own thoughts, so that you're not a schizophrenic saying, oh, somebody speaks in my head because I remember a voice or something. No, you are responsible for your own mind content. Otherwise, indeed, you can't stop talking or you can't stop meditating, which is not a tenable position. You cannot separate the brakes from the throttle. It doesn't make sense just to do one of those two. So the end of the process is that we are adults, enlightened, and fully aware and of what our mindfulness is all about, and we take responsibility for it. Thus, we are emancipated individuals. We know that the sex isn't really important. Doesn't really matter whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're an Arab or a Chinaman or a European or an American. It doesn't really matter. It is the same for all humanity. We as Homo sapiens are defined by knowledge and reason, and we need to be in command with ourselves in the first place. This is the foundation of democracy. So if you want to bring democracy somewhere in the world, like we are trying, different ways, our motives must be pure. You must be in favor for a good education. And if a culture, any culture has its own pride, of course. You cannot just go to Africa and say, now listen, I know everything better, and if you do what I say, you will have a nice democracy. That's not how it works. People have their own pride, have their own lessons and schools and traditions. So you cannot just wipe that away, just like Star Trek. If you land on a planet, you cannot just remove the culture and replace it with your own. That's not how things work. If the educational systems are very much alike, you can try to help on request. So that is possible. But still, it is a difficult enterprise to educate adults in the first place. Can you tell your own neighbor anything? Not speaking about a fly. You cannot teach a fly anything. So why do you think you can teach an adult anything? Because he's bigger and he's easier to catch? Well, he's more intelligent. And once you left school and your parents, you have decided that you are now enlightened. You are an enlightened individual, educated and self-reliant, and you know what to say. So democracy is only possible with this concept of emancipation. Emancipation is a matter of education, and later in life it's a matter of installing this all these elements in society, so that you always can listen, always can sing, and always can read, always can study, always can proclaim, always can meditate, always can pray. This is all important. So when these conditions are met, when people are capable to do this, we can install democracy. If not, we need to be educated first. This is what I wanted to tell you today. Thank you for your attention.